grade one.
Oh, man. See, that's why I got the advantage over you people. I never was homeschooled, never got any fucking schooling.
Yeah, he's Canadian. They didn't believe in school.
I'm not a fucking Canadian. That was in France. So what? Where are we? How did we get off on that? So Kyle, what is it? They bring up the animal pride in the song?
No. It's like the guy, he loves this woman, but she's out running around on him, and he wants to stay with her. So to me, that's like, you want to ascend, but there's what's going on, your pride is, you don't want to admit that you have descended, that you have fell. So your pride stands in the way from you ascending.
Okay.
Because you know you love ascension. You know you love it.
And
but
why don't you do it?
Your pride stops you because it's kind of like a cheating woman. You know, you don't really know how to deal with it.
Well, speak for yourself there, Kyle.
How does that make your pride make you not want to ascend? I don't get it.
Well, do you want, if you're a person, do you want to love that person in spite of their cheating? Or do you want to let your pride come between you and that person?
Well,
so you're saying there's some factor about ascension that interrupts ascending, and you call it pride.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's just play the song again and learn our lesson. I was responding to this tonality so much, I still don't know what the song's about. I didn't hear one fucking lyric. That is
good. We want to see Connie dancing.
Yeah, Connie, could you just demonstrate a little bit? I'll put the camera on, the video camera, and everybody can look. But I like that song. That's good. That's going in the archive, man. That guy could sing.
All right, Bob, there's another song.
He's such a good singer. I couldn't focus on the fucking words. I don't even know what it's about. He did, whoa, 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 whoa.
You want to know?
First time I ever could sing. This guy has activated my DNA voice.
This girl is running around on him, but he loves her.
So what did his problem
stay,
was whether to leave her?
Yeah.
Yeah, his pride.
And why? Why
leave did he? Because she's making a fool of him, but his heart loves her, and so he wants to stay.
You know, and Ian has added insight on that point. Ian says you never fall out of love. If you fall out with somebody, you know, to a certain degree, you will never fall out of love, but you can change and get not like them. And that's where people get confused. They can't move on to someone else because they still feel the bond. So if people recognize, well, the person still loves me, but they just can't stand me the way I am right now, and then they can go away and go to someone else and have a new love and still have a feeling. Once you fully understand that, then you can have, man, you can be a polymorphous fucking Hugh Hefner, man. You fuck any moves.
Woohoo!
For a sermon. Reverend Bob.
That's fine. There's an answer for that song. Another song called My Confession. It's by Ray Parker.
Wait, is Ian still there?
My Confession, is it similar style?
It's the same guy, yes.
Yeah, I know, but is he singing that dirtful, mournful,
my heart?
Exactly, and he's answering the question of whether she stay or go.
All right, I'll look for it. And what's it called? My Confession, Ray Price.
Right.
Okay, well, that was a very good contribution. And it was very rare that we play a song twice, but reminded me of my life in Nova Scotia. They used to play that kind of stuff, and him and Hank Snow, man, they were on the radio all the time in Nova Scotia.
Well, this is written by Bob Wills, who created Luckenbach, and that's who Waylon and Willie wanted to He said, they were saying, let's get back to this. Let's go back to this.
Right. Well, that's the
Bob Wills is still the king. That's what they said.
Bob Wills is great. Love Bob Wills.
That's who wrote,
wasn't he the original guy? Wasn't he the original white honky racist that, put Eben's family in the ghetto?
No.
No.
Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, we featured
him. Oh, he's
him.
A Texan, Bob. He's a Texan.
Yeah, that's good. I like him. I like Texans.
Ion? Is Ion there?
No, Ion couldn't take. He hates country music. He can't take it. He ran off. So let's see. We got here. Well, this is dedicated to Eben. Let's see if she can survive this. Yep, same song. This guy had one note gig. Became a millionaire.
That was hard.
What a guy. What Ray Price. He just name your price. It's right in his name. He's just all, he's only in it for the money. Totally commercial. Extremely commercial. Ray Price.
Was that like a cowboy in Hawaii, that little slide guitar and everything he has there?
Yeah. Yeah, he's international. That's world music in the country genre. But you know what's incredible? It's like listening, like talking to the angels. This guy shuts down the labyrinth of my mind. He's fucking very effective for doing that. I still didn't hear one lyric. I don't know what he's saying. It's too much into the arm of it all. He arms. I mean, he's
a whaler.
The big note. He's a whaler. And you know, I wonder if he's the guy in Nashville. You know, that 1976 movie, which ends up in Nashville. Well, it's about Nashville, and they're at a party of all the elite country and western singers. And this older guy leads it. He's the right winger, pissed off guy, and. It might have been him. Might have been Ray Price. You can go look that movie up.
Well, we can
remember
look
that
it up
scene?
Right now.
Yeah, just keep him in that movie. There would be a guy, a character based on him, because he probably, he goes way back.
I think it is. It looks
yeah,
like
he was an outsider, Bob. He was an outsider. The Nashville crowd didn't like him because he stuck with that western swing.
He had his own faction, didn't he? Isn't he like famous? Had his own.
Yeah, he was Hank Williams' roommate. Him and Hank were best friends.
Holy shit, man! Who gives a fuck about the country western establishment? If you're Hank Williams' roommate, you're somebody.
Yeah, he took Hank's band after Hank died and kept going.
Wow. Well, Kyle, you think you're a pretty good singer? Is that because you've compared yourself to Ray all these years?
Well, he's one of my heroes, yes.
Well, that's pretty extreme. Ray Price is your hero. I mean, Ray's not that good, Kyle.
He's pretty damn.
Bob should be your hero.
I think he's great, but I'm no judge of these matters. I mean, hey, I go to Ray. You're fantastic, Ray. You blocked the labyrinth of my mind. You're incredible, Ray. Keep wailing. I don't know what you're singing about, but I love your wail. You're as good as an angel. Can you imagine him looking at me? What's get this guy out of here. Get this fucking guy out of here. He's a fucking Russian.
Think you're a fruit.
Yeah. But I'm not a good, you can't use my standards of likings to create a social register.
To me, he's a great vocalist. That's what I'm saying.
And great the vocalist. Old kind, like, you know, McLuhan said that radio created the well of loneliness. Okay, there's no TV, there's no nothing, there's just this acoustic well that is the radio space in the 30s, 40s. His music is perfect for the radio well, the well of loneliness, man. His voice is awesome in the radio in the 30s and 40s.
And that steel guitar and violin really creates
Yeah. It's almost like his voice is an archetypal country and western stereotype that you would see in all those movies made in the 50s, 60s, 70s, where they'd go to the South and they'd have the stereotype about the South and the simple people and their country and western music. His stuff would be in the background. That's how archetypal he is.
Yeah, if you went to West Texas right now, you would hear those songs being played still today.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he in the 40s or 50s or 60s? It's hard to tell. He could have been a 60s guy.
That was like done 57. In 62. That album came out in 1962. He lived.
Oh, okay.
He just died last year. He lived.
Okay. Did anybody look up Nashville, the movie? Is there some reference?
He wasn't in the movie Nashville, but he was on the TV show Nashville a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
He could have sued the movie Nashville for defamation of stereotype.
Well, who was in it then? If he wasn't in it, who was in it?
Yeah, you'd have to go. Well,
so
when we're doing stuff, I'll look up. You go on YouTube and look up excerpts from Nashville, and they might include the scene. They're at the party. Whoever's, it's Lily Tomlin and some other people, Keith Carradine.
The girl gets shot.
Yeah, and why, this country and western woman saying, this country ain't been the same since John Kennedy got killed. it's just the raw facts, This just they don't think beyond the emotion of that, Bert's here. Bert's in town. Now we can get down to some hard-ass left hemisphere fucked up labyrinth of shit that Ray Price can cure us of.
Hey, Bob, that was a good observation about, what's his name, Ray Price?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. You can't. I tried to listen to the song the three times you played it, and didn't hear one word.
That's right. You can't fucking make out the words. It's like you're stuck in a limbo. Like you can't believe how stupid the sound is, but it's still good. It sort of sounds pleasurable, and you can't afford to think about anything else, let alone.
Yeah, and you didn't even register that the third time was actually a different song.
Yeah, that was part of the shock of numbing my mind. So we now know how to numb our minds. Just put on a radio. Thank you, Kyle. You made a major contribution to Islandom. If you run out of drops, just listen to Ray Price for a couple of days till the drops show up again.
Hey, Bob, check your in quick. I just sent you something.
Oh, I hope it works. Let's see. Kiss an Angel Good Morning. That's a classic, isn't it? Do we know that one?
Yeah, well, look who it is. Who sings it?
If he fucking does it the same way, I'm not listening to the whole thing. Okay? I won't be able to do any more of the show if I keep blowing my mind like this. Okay.
But look at the name of who sings it.
Well, Ray Price.
No.
Oh, no? Oh, let me check again. See, I can't even read. Oh, it's Charlie Pride. Okay, well, what about that? What does that mean? Is that Charlie Pride
Charlie
a problem?
Pride.
Yeah.
Well,
is he a black guy? He's a black guy, right?
Yes.
So is this, we're going to compare him.
Yeah, I've got your answer on who was in the movie, Bob.
Oh.
Is it composite of Roy Acuff, Hank Snow,
yes,
and Porter Wagner? Porter Wagner.
Those two guys. Okay, they fit. They fit the look. Yeah. Now, maybe we can find on YouTube the scene where they talk. And Roy Acuff and Porter Wagner. I played a Porter Wagner song, a couple weeks ago. You brought that up. Okay, so here we go. The sound for this is the competition. The Black Caucus sends in their mind killer, Charlie Pride. It's like Men in Black, right? What was that guy, Slim Pickens and Men in Black, who blew up the aliens?
Oh, that was Mars Attacks. That was Mars Attacks.
Yeah, Mars Attacks. So it wasn't Slim Pickens. It was Slim something, or a funny name.
That was
Sneaky Pete Wilkinson.
This is Bob. Ronnie Blakely, Barbara's Jean, is based on Loretta Lynn. The black country singer Tommy Brown, played by Timmy Brown, is based on Charlie Pride.
Wow. In Nashville?
Yeah, in that show, yes.
Did you know that, Susanna? Yeah, that's just a serendipity.
No, I was putting a contra to your stereotypical presentation of country music.
the reason you are the way you are growing up in Dallas in this environment. Yes. you got a panicking, you got a panic dog or cat that won't even let you shower. Do you realize, people, I've never had something bugging me once for 5 minutes like that. I would tolerate that. You know, somebody barking while I'm going to shower. Oh man, the dog would be killed immediately.
Just take the cat in the shower.
Aww.
Yeah, I just throw the cat in the shower. I'd throw the cat in the shower and I'd leave and let him pay the rent.
Hey, they're pure nonphysical.
Yeah, pure, really pure.
Until you put it in the shower.
Okay, here goes Charlie.
One of the main men of all time in the Country Music Hall of Fame. That's right, superlatives.
Yeah.
How about?
Wow. You know what, that is, that is so pure Christian that it sounds really wholesome, you know, salt of the earth, kiss an angel in the morning and love her like the devil when you get home. I mean, that's, it's so brilliant. There's so many layers going on there and everybody winks at each other. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
Swingers laugh.
Well, the song failed for me. I understood and heard every word. My mind got inflamed.
Bobby just got out about 18 beers and he got 50%.
Yeah, he just threw me down about four floors on the Ascension elevator. But he had a great,
Evan.
Look at that video. It's awesome, awesome backup band. What a bunch of clowns those guys are. And you're watching the lead guitarist. He's probably, you know, he probably plays the Pink Floyd stuff all the time, and he has to do this simple little picking. And he couldn't hold himself back to his mouth. He started modulating his mouth. He had to release somehow. So this slow song's going on. The guy behind there has got his mouth distorting all over the place to nothing. There's no reason to distort his mouth. No alibi. But
you know,
it's all repressed.
Yeah, yeah. It is true, like, you see people overreact to, like, the most boring song to try and make it interesting.
It's not a boring song. I liked it, but I didn't go into the bliss of the lobial circuit disconnect, you know. Frontal lobal disconnect didn't happen. That's my
Hold
new
it,
standard.
That's what happened to those Martians in Mars Attack, though, except that overload and their head exploded. You got to watch it, Bob.
Hey, you know what? I just realized that's the secret of Zappa. With Zappa, I go into lobal short circuit and can make out the words because they're so silly. That's Zappa figured it out. You don't make normal meaning when you're going to blow a person, you know, shut a person's mind down, which he does. You make ridiculous lyrics so you can hear them. You're not trying to make sense. You get that, Bert? That makes total sense. That's why Zappa works. He gives you the labyrinth, kills the labyrinth of mind. And he doesn't distract you with meaningful lyrics.
Well, it's poetry.
Yeah, that's poetry. That could be poetry, yeah.
Plus, he has such a great voice.
Yeah.
Who?
He has such a great voice. It's so hot.
Are you talking about Zappa or Charlie Pride?
Zappa.
Oh, really? You like his voice? You like Zappa's voice?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think it's great.
And who's speaking?
Susanna.
Oh, okay. I know you always are shifting. I can't figure out whether you're Sarah, Big Sarah, or Kim. I wonder if Kim's still here. Kim was trying to...
Hey, can I ask Evan a question real quick?
Yeah.
Hi, who's there?
This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Peters.
Hi.
Hey, good. How are you doing? Did you ever try out that device for making it rain?
Yes.
Did it work in your area, or?
Well,
what did you notice?
I noticed that. Well, this is just what I saw and experienced. So I did notice, because I went out on days that there were clouds out over the San Gabriels, but it was clear over LA. And so I had to drive out to 10, for an hour. And that took me out to just outside Riverside and then turn around and come back. And I did notice like a system. You know, clouds coming when it was like a you know, a brighter day. Clear. And he could have been on their way anyways. Maybe I just like, maybe it just actually, you know, helped. I did see change, but not rain. So I remembered a talk Ion had, an interview with Bob and Carolyn, where he was telling Carolyn that she just loved the luscious rain, and there it was. And so so I've been trying that. And yeah, so we've had rain, but I understand a lot of people are praying for rain, you know?
Yeah, and then I don't know if you heard last week, or maybe it was the week before. Maybe it was the week before. When Ion was talking about the DuPont and Trian fund, they had to settle their differences before we could have rain.
Right.
And they just, Trian gave in. They conceded. So I started to ask Ion about that tonight, and what I could hear was people talking over him. He said it was still going to be dry. So I wanted to pursue that further, but I was wondering if maybe try that device again, or what is the name of that device?
It's not a name. This it's Trevor James Constable. He was a guy that was at Big Rock with Van Tassel way back there in the 40s and 50s. He started shooting UFOs with infrared cameras in the 50s and doing this particular star formation with his body spinning in a particular cadence and stuff, and just, you know, boom, out there. So from his work, he was really into Wilhelm Reich, and Wilhelm Reich talked about Oregon energy and the ethers of the planet. So he decided to do some experiments, and over the course of 20 years created these poles that you can put on a Cessna, and now I think a drone that you can fly out and fly back and pull in a weather system, and he documented both of those events. He did one in Hawaii, which was as easy because there's clouds, but he went out and got the system and brought it in. Then he did it in Malaysia for the government. And so the governments have asked him to come and do that. He has people coming to him to do it. So this is one of his little poles. I don't know.
So it doesn't have to be on an airplane.
I'm sorry, dear. That was a really long answer for a simple question.
No, that's perfect. But it's the same kind of pole that you would put on, that he would put on a plane. You just put it on your car, or how does it work?
Yeah, exactly. So these are some, because he has ones that are like 7 feet, and he has it on the feet where you step into the plane, like, you know, around the post, and then he has smaller ones that are hooked in through the, you know, the poles that connect the wings to the body. He would strap them on there. And so, I had, you know what I did? I saw a change, but it didn't bring rain. And so I went, and we have had some rain, you know, which is groovy.
We've had sprinkles up here, but, some in the mountains, but,
where are you?
Yeah, nothing significant. And
where are you?
Oh, I'm in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. North Bay.
Right. Well, do that as Carolyn and Ion and I am trying to do, and just wanting it. Luscious, beautiful, freaking rain. Can't wait. Where is it already? And just think about how luscious and great it's going to be to have it. Because I think it works. We've had some rain, or there are a lot of people doing this very same thing, but we have had whatever that smidgen is. Mm-hmm. It's nice to think about helping or enjoying it, or having the joy of it. So.
Well, if Ion comes back tonight, I wanted to ask him if it's a benefit for, is there any kind of a benefit for it to be dry in California? Just because,
well,
I'd like to see the water, but is there something I'm missing here?
Well, you
just
know,
from
when
some
they, when,
of the comments that he said.
From any of these kind of It's like neither good nor bad. It is, and you'll see people that will thrive, some that will, you know, it just seems a part of the whole game of it. But I think the idea is, you know, that there is this party, the party of the DuPonts, et cetera. They somehow are able to generate that. They're generating the drought or whatever. So obviously it can be reversed, you know, and more people, you know, and loving, luscious, freaking rain, can't wait for it to come, sitting there and materialize it like that. I think that it could, you can push it back, or, you know.
Well, that's my thinking. I'm on the side of the rain for sure.
Yeah, man. No, I think that you, as a powerful in coming into your power, you know, kind of entity person. I don't know what you guys, how we're referring to ourselves at this time. Have the tools at hand to not wait for it, but to help it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good,
Evan.
Good to hear your voice. I haven't heard you on here for a long time, so I always enjoy your talks and what your insight.
Hey, Evan, that's how I met Zappa.
I appreciate that, Barbara. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Great to meet you, too.
That's how I met. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I met Zappa. The Sea Council 10 sent me out to Mojave Desert to look into Van Tassel and Constable and the UFO stuff and all that was going on there. And that's where I bumped into Zappa. You see my diaries in the club, him and Beefheart, in 1958. But I was out there looking. I was supposed to see what those guys were doing.
And what did you – tell me – tell us about your experience.
Well, I told them they're a bunch of idiots. They were hokey. It didn't seem very real to me, so I don't know if the management, the leaders, the secret council, the guys above me took my policy. But what was funny is that I meet Joe Dunn Sloan 10 years later, 11, 12 years later. I get the DCL 69 and meet him in 1970. And as I get to know him through the 70s, he hung out with all those guys. So I wondered about, well, maybe there was something going on there, because the D-cell worked, and he respected those guys, knew them all, was part of that world. They had a magazine called Borderline Science or something.
Right, yeah, Borderline Science, right.
I used to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
You know, you could, hey, you know, Evan, you can go on 5body.com, look up D-cell, and you go into those topics, and you will see Monsquaz put together actual articles that Joe Dunn Sloan and other of his associates wrote for Borderline Science. You know, you can see the original articles about the D-cell from that little magazine.
Wow. Oh, that's excellent. What do you search?
You go to five. Maybe I probably can tell you. I mean, if I get a chance here, do something, and then in the interval when I'm not talking, I'll get the link.
So,
When I met Joe Dunn Sloan, the world had changed. Rye returned to Plane of Essence 67, so it was a different world, so I was more open probably to Joe's reality, so I decided that I wasn't capable of understanding what I witnessed in the 50s. You know, I just said, oh, well, maybe they were real, but I didn't think they were, but I was still fresh out of Europe. You know, I've been working with Project Paperclip and fucking Nazis who were doing other shit that I wasn't aware of completely.
Right.
You know, they were doing high-tech woo-woo.
Right.
And Trevor Constable was doing alternative tech woo-woo.
Right, exactly.
And you know who's really good at talking about the different worlds like that is Thomas Pynchon. His novels deal with the high-tech woo-woo and the low-tech woo-woo.
I was just looking on 5body. You were just talking about Gravity's Rainbow Pynchon. It was like on one of the posts when you were just saying that. Right. So did you, after, I'm sorry, who is it that you met that was linked into the group?
Joe Dunn Sloan, the maker of the
D-cell. Yeah, Joe Dunn Sloan. Right. So once you found out that he was into it, et cetera, did you start further research and opening yourself up, and what did you find? You didn't?
I didn't go back. I was a very lazy person. I didn't go back. I was just happy to to get the D cell, and that was good enough. That slowed down my aging. And the thing was that Joe had, I mean, Carolyn remember this, he had all kinds of stories, like Bob Beck. Remember that name, Bob Beck?
Yes,
yeah, all those guys that end up in Roy of Hollywood show or maybe your show, Joe knew them all way back there in the 40s and 50s. And that's what was that interesting. I'm always interested in hearing someone's verbal archive. So I would just sit around with Joe and let him tell me all these stories about all these guys.
What did he tell you? What did he tell you?
He always had viable experiences. He would say, well, we were out there with Bob Beck, and he took his laser beam or, you know, what would it be, corn cob laser beam, like a low-tech crazy thing, and he zapped the cloud, and we got drenched in a torrential. They always worked around Joe. Everything worked. He witnessed one incredible technology after another with all these guys.
Right, right. What did he see?
And he ended up with the D cell.
What did he see about Van Tassel?
He said it was real. You ever heard of the psychic Gina Sermonina? If you look up books of psychics, healers, or just psychic women, Gina Sermonina, some name like that, there's a book of her experiences. He was in her group in the 40s. I mean, that's really early, and she was a psychic, had people around her, and they would investigate the paranormal, and Joe was there at the beginning of all those people, and I met a couple of them through Joe. And then we're going to get into Alan Cabal. It was Alan Cabal's article on those guys that where he mentioned that McLuhan was the Andy Warhol of science. That's probably where that statement was. And this whole Alan Cabal connection with McLuhan came to a big head this week. I mean, we now know why we were following him.
Why?
So we'll get to that in a minute. We'll read the story. Anybody, Eliza, did you read him yet? Did you read this week's story? Maybe she's on mute. Let me see what's going on here.
Where's the story at, Bob?
I'll explain in a minute. I don't want to get distracted. Going back to this, so Bob Beck and all these guys, since Joe was a genuine guy, and he made the D cell, so he had something going for him, and I believed everything he said. He said, we did this, and the rain happened, and we went over there, and the guy zapped something, and that happened. Let me see. Carol, do you remember those stories? Well, she's not even listening. Let me get her phone on. Do you remember those, put your phone on. Did you hear, remember those stories Joe Don Sloan would tell us? That Joe Don Sloan would tell us about Bob Beck and all those guys he knew and Gino Sermonina and those people. He knew them all. He did things with them. He was successful with their technology. You remember all that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we learned about all those rare people from Joe. He'd go to all their meetings and little society, get their little papers. We'd read their little pamphlets.
Yeah, when I said Joe, I'd read our little magazines from the 40s and 50s, like the Borderline Science.
Wow. That's so incredible, so bitchin'. So how'd you guys react to this then? You're fresh out of Europe. You know,
well, no, Carolyn wasn't with me in the 50s. And in the 50s, I wasn't open to it or it didn't seem, I was just, I never met anybody who took me to the inside circle. So I just would go to these demonstrations and look hokey, like nothing was going on. And it looked like a con. And partly,
but it did make it rain.
The way the 50s were. You have to realize, that's the way the 50s were. I was part of the zeitgeist. That's what everybody, all those guys got in trouble.
Bob.
You know, they were ostracized and all that. But by the late 60s, the world had changed. One was more open to the stuff, and the D-cell changed me, so I was ready to hear what Joe had to say about it. And, you know, Walter Bowert, he would later meet. That was funny about Bowert. He always was interested in that kind of stuff. So he would meet Bob Beck in the 80s, way later. And he couldn't believe that I had met Bob Beck in 1972 or something. He couldn't believe that I had met. But he didn't. I don't know if he understood it. It all happened through Joe Don Sloan.
Right, right, right. Did somebody have a question, right? Somebody was going to ask you something.
Yeah. going to
go ahead.
Ask if, are you saying Bob Beck was the one that did the experiment with making it rain, or was it Van Tassel?
It might have been him. It might have been him, but Bob Beck is still alive, or he was around. Yeah, and he was the leftover of that era. In Alan Cabal's article in the late 90s, he goes to a convention with all these people. There's another guy, Thomas Bearden was another one of these people.
Yeah, Thomas Bearden,
absolutely. And he would write books on this scene. So Alan Cabal went to a convention on this stuff and reminded me of all those people. And he opened it with a quote saying that Marshall McLuhan was the Andy Warhol of big science. And that's a pretty good statement. And so we started following Alan Cabal's columns the last few months because he came back out of the blue. He had left his writing world, left New York. And so we here have been reading his stuff and following the drama of him and his girlfriend and her junky son. Well, it got to a point, I'll read it in a few minutes, but it came to a point. This is why I end up serendipitously following these people. It always has a reason for me, you know, a poignant reason. And we'll do that in a minute. Let's see, what else to say about Bob Beck? So Bob Beck was one of the later guys, and he was still showing up at conventions in the late 90s that Cabal went to. Let's see, if we look up Bob Beck, he must be dead by now. You know, it'd be amazing if he's still alive. So he's probably got a wiki entry. Let's see what he is.
Well, I mean, excuse me.
Look at this. Bob Beck. Look at this. Immortal blood purifier and magnetic pulser. I mean, the guy is groping towards the eye cell. You know, he's pretty close. And that's 2015. Oh, wait a minute. They're saying something about his death. What's this? Well, we have to wait till it stops spinning. It took Bob Beck 6 months to obtain immortal blood. So maybe he's still alive using his blood purifier and other equipment. His time can be cut in half by using the blood purifier twice a day. It can be cut down to 2 months by using the blood purifier three times a day. The weak link is rashes on the wrists. In fact, when treating cancer... Okay, so let's see if there's a wiki entry on him. He's got a protocol book. Maybe he's going to be around forever. He's a guy that should find out about us.
Well,
Bob Beck bioelectric protocol.
You know, I mean, during that time, Trevor James talked about this woman, Ruth, out of San Pedro, who had this machine that you would put a drop of blood on, and it would be able to find all of the viruses, you know, in your body, and their frequencies, and then the machine would dial that frequency and kill it. And
the Rife machine?
Rife, you know, it's like a Rife machine, but it was her own creation.
Okay. Yeah,
Dr. Clark.
Okay, great. So maybe this is the link that Bob Beck has, because all of them, because Trevor James was there, Van Tassel, et cetera. So this is maybe why Bob Beck has that train of technology.
Dr. Hulda Clark is referring to that machine, Evan.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
this,
nah,
woman
hey,
was, this woman was
hey,
diff-
listen to
a different.
This.
It was a different name.
Ruth. It was Hulda Clark, Carolyn. Are you listening, Carolyn? Is that the woman we treated at the Cambridge, Maryland?
No. Hulda Clark's dead. But she's a Canadian.
Yeah, who's the other one that we did her legs?
We're not going to say the name.
Oh, okay, but that was similar woman to look like to me.
No.
Not the same? Okay. Okay, sorry. No, Hulda Clark we didn't meet. We met another person there and helped her. Go ahead, Bert. Or Evan.
Yeah, I was, you know, you were just talking about Bob Beck having, you know, possibly being alive. So I was just making the connection.
No, he died. I found the body. He died in 2002 after a long and impressive career, 77 years young. His retirement years were spent trying to disseminate his ideas as far as possible. He was a man who took an independent stand for the things he believed in, a true maverick. And, you know, you can see by his hairstyle he's sort of not aesthetically tuned. He's got a ridiculous hairstyle. This is what these guys are like, left hemisphere tinkerers, and they're gadget lovers, the American archetype. But they have no European sensuosity. They don't interview Dennis Young about the history of surrealism like I do. They don't have the aesthetic consciousness that Tim brought up. They don't have both hemispheres going. He's like trying to do right hemisphere technology with a left hemisphere personality.
Sure.
Yeah. So you know, and they don't. They're not aware that they have stupid haircuts. You know what I mean? Like they can't see themselves in the mirror. They're so abstracted thinking about their technologies and their new inventions, they don't notice their environment, you know, themselves.
You know what? I actually kind of applaud people like that because they don't give a damn and they base their balls off of their brains. And
yeah, but that's yeah. Visual space, Evan. That's the problem. Science ends up very abstract and not aware of what it's doing to their body or other bodies. It is a defect of the left hemisphere. You have to be a sensuous ho-daddy like me, as well as the left hemisphere, to... I am your model, not Bob Beck. It's Bob Dobbs protocol we're celebrating here. Not the Bob Beck BB. He's got the 22 there, Bob Beck, but he gives it away. I mean, I'm under tremendous scrutiny. If one fucking hair is out of aesthetic order, Connie won't tolerate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you do these videos in the middle of the night when I'm asleep and you look like a naked...
A hobo.
Yeah,
because
hobo.
I'm being influenced by the Illuminati bitch.
I'm sorry, Illuminati bitch.
You try to remember yourself when you're hanging out with the Illuminati bitch. You're fucking. I defy that.
So your hair standing on end.
Yeah.
And she doesn't care. Roxana doesn't tell you to comb your hair.
Roxana's a deep. What is it? Deep triple agent. She's in the long run going to sabotage this whole operation.
Bob, I think when I saw that, I said, "Please put on a shirt."
Yes, everybody said that. Bill said it. And what did you see? One of the videos? I mean, what's wrong?
Yeah.
My shoulder.
Yeah.
I do not show my breasts. You just see my shoulders, my wonderful svelte tan shoulders. It's like I might be in a bath or something, a sauna. It's aesthetic. It is left, right hemisphere aesthetics. It's European.
Bob, I'm sorry. Even with all of you, and you, Bob, you cannot override and undo what the Android meme has done to that visual. You are as much a victim of it as anybody else.
Oh, what are they? What? I didn't know. What did the Android meme do? Tell me about it. Am I fucking missing something here?
Oh, it precedes your image, and it contextualizes it into some little porn room. Some little
absolutely
weird.
Absolutely right. Well, I'm all for that. That's European sensuosity. Oh, okay, good. You're sounding awful American there. You're Puritan American there. Whatever. Who am I talking to, Carol? What day is it?
Yeah, who are you talking to?
Oh, Evan. Yeah,
who
Evan.
Talking to?
Yeah, Evan.
Who
am I talking about?
To?
I went off the range again.
No. I mean, I'm sorry. It was just like, yeah. I mean, you can put a leg on or something.
I knew Paul. What's that guy's name? The oldest health food guy. We met his 80-year-old fake daughter. What was that guy's name? Paul Bragg.
I knew Paul Bragg and
Ben Weeder. I knew the original guys who would have they would be in ads with a bathing suit on, okay, in the 40s. They'd wear a fucking bathing suit and show off their shiny skin. Those are my roots. I represent that tradition.
Well, you were just talking about, okay, well. We don't have to go.
Look at Bob Beck's got a suit on. It's ridiculous. He's got ridiculous hair, and he's got a suit and tie.
At his time, that was the shit. You know, he's standing proud right then. He's not right 2015. He's not 1995, whatever. He's like what?
Yeah. 1967. Huntington Park with Joe Sloan.
So there you go. Give him.
Yeah. No, no, that's what he is. But he didn't change. He's too abstract.
And Joe was cool. Joe would just go around little short sleeve shirts. He was cooler than
Bobette.
Yeah,
he was so fucking cool that about once or twice a week, Carol and I had to get the fuck out of his house and go to the beach because he had two young women coming over. And he had the hot women coming over. He'd spend the day with them.
Because he knew how to comb his hair.
No, he had European sensuosity going for him. Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Well,
there are a lot of European men in America then. There are a lot of European men in America. Okay.
Everybody's going to be using this term on their mother. Mom, you got no European sensuosity, you fucking asshole, Mom. No wonder you don't like the drops. You got to work up the right hemisphere, Mom. Evan,
hey,
try that on your mother, Evan.
What?
Bob.
Try that on your mother. Claims she got she lost not her African roots, but her European roots.
Oh, she's got them intact, and unfortunately they aren't that European sensuosity at all.
Well, that's what I want. Hey, Karen, you got to mute.
Yeah.
Here's Karen, like, building my popcorn, and you guys are hearing it. It's not cool.
So, Bob, are you sitting in the dark when you're talking to Roxana and she's recording it?
Yes. You can see in the latest videos, you can see Roxana, you know, sitting there in her room, quite visible in the image, the reflected image. Sometimes the angle makes her see it, and she's holding up the camera.
Because it looks like you're holding a flashlight underneath you.
You're starting to do it again. Are you you talking to me under a pillow or something? You know, your neighbors, your lovers.
No.
Am I doing what?
It looks like you're putting a flashlight under your face, like, to tell a horror story.
Bob and the hell. That's right. Yeah, we have the downstairs lighting, and then the other day I went upstairs, and we tried the upstairs lighting, which is a little more demonic, and, you know, it looks like black and white with a shiny right cheek. Yeah, it's great. We love it. Yep, I operate with a light, don't want to have too much light, and it's in the middle of the night, and I like the aesthetics. I'm trying to be as charming and unpredictable as possible. That's my modus operandi, you know? European sensuosity.
Yeah.
With a twist of horror.
So I'm proud of my picture. You look at me. I got a head coming out of the surf, or fucking I look like Jim Morrison, Bob Dylan, and John Lennon, and everybody at Elvis, and everybody else right there. Now, that's a cool picture. That's what we need today.
Yeah, it is a cool picture. It's a cool picture. You do look good, but you could look so much better if you could. But
well, that's
you
up to Carolyn. That'll be for when I go on Charlie Rose. Yeah, I mean, you saw a glimpse of it at the Cambridge ball, right? Bob in a fucking tuxedo or whatever it's fucking called. That looked pretty impressive, right? Well,
but you look quite spiffy, Bob.
My phone's blipping out. I got to go change it. But, you know, yeah, so, you know, we have to do go on Charlie Rose, and nobody will recognize me. I'll be looking so good.
I think you should go on there without a shirt.
Yeah, they wouldn't. You know, they wouldn't let you. You know, I bet you they wouldn't let you.
No, then you know it's when you wear those flaps. You know, you can't be so Maui. Have some pants on.
Right. Well, I could do a Skype if I can get away with a Skype and don't have to go to New York and be like Skolnick and only go in there in a tank. You know, he'd never go into an NBC studio unless he was in a tank. But if they let me stay home, because I don't want to use the tank, I'll do the shirt. And, we'll, you know, all their stupid little yuppie assistant producers will be yelling at me. And I'll say, well, I'm in charge now. You're going to do what I say.
There you go.
And I'll do it. So maybe you'll never will see me looking really good.
Wear Jack's shirt.
Jack's, did you say?
Yeah, wear a Jack's shirt. That looks
Who's
good.
Jack?
Jack.
Jermaine's boyfriend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Jeez, I forgot Jack's. See, I don't even know what day it is. Jeez, I forgot. I've got a uniform.
Yeah.
I can't even, Jack who? I just did a big ad campaign for him a week ago, and I totally forgot him already.
You're his poster boy.
Yeah. So, Karen, we got to switch phones here because mine's running out. So we got to figure out how to switch and get you on the other phone. So what can we do? Can you guys talk among yourselves? Is that possible?
Sure.
Bring up a topic? Okay, sure. Yeah, I just can't talk for a minute.
Evan, this is Bert. How you doing?
Bert, how are you? Great,
good,
man.
Good. I noticed awesome. you said you're in school. What are you studying?
In law.
Wow. What kind of law? What kind of law? I mean,
it's just, you know, they give you everything under the sun. You know, you get a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay.
But right now I am working in compliance, and that's Ooh. When I have Ooh. To look at a company's contracts to see if they sync up with federal and state law kind Ooh. Of stuff.
Okay. So what do you do? You get a broad exposure to law, and then you select what you want to go into. Is that how that program works?
Or where you can get a job, and then you
right.
like switch hats. Oh yeah, I know that. Da 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 da. Blah blah. Blah. You know, fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Well, just give a little hint. Just give a little hint. Compliance. It might be the specialty that you might want to look into. Actually,
compliance might be the specialty I want to look into.
Well, if you're talking about, if you're saying job, compliance is where you want to scan the landscape.
Well, that's where I'm working. I'm working in that. I do have a job doing that.
Good.
But why
it's big.
Why,
it's really big. The regulator, left
yeah,
brain
yeah.
control of money.
Huge.
All into regulation and compliance. It's fucking crazy, actually, if you look at it from a corporate standpoint. Crazy.
Yeah, you know what I have been noticing now, of course, you know, with all the banks especially, and when it comes to money, anything in money, definitely a lot of compliance work. But, yeah, definitely. So